Sahana vavatu, sahana punaktu, sahaviryan kadavavahai, tejasvinavaditamastamavidavishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Okay, page 14, chapter 12, Devotional Service in Practice. Sri Krishna Uddhava, Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th Canto, 14:30. Of all kinds of suffering and bondage arising from various attachments, none is greater than the suffering and bondage arising from attachment to women and intimate contact with those attached to women. Because when you're dealing on this platform, it includes all the senses. Right? So this male-female principle based on the whole family sense gratification, that it engages all the senses, all the activities, everything. So that's why it gives the greatest, the most intense experience, right? But the point is that's where the greatest misery is. Because if the greatest happiness is there, it has to be balanced with the same amount of misery. So if you say this is great, then there must be that much misery. That's the problem with the material platform. That's why it's recommended you situate yourself in goodness. So it's like, yeah, it's okay, and then it goes wrong. You know, that's all the farther you get, right? But you go, wow, this is fabulous, and go, oh no, this is the end of the world, like that. So that's the problem. Yes.
Sometimes we meet very powerful personalities, and it appears that they are completely controlled by their women. So how do we deal with those?
On platforms other than the women.
It means
if they're good in their service or something like that, you deal with them in that area only. The concept, the discussions are only there, everything's always there.
But then service is influenced by the woman, because she's behind everything.
Find another service.
Okay.
Just find another. In other words, if her control improves, in other words, he may be attached too. So that's bad. So his view and his perspective on the family life may be a problem. But if her perspective is not, and how she's influencing him is actually improving the quality of his service, then that aspect you don't have to worry about. But if both are bad, then you got a problem. You know, if he's okay, but she's not, so she keeps influencing, so it's a little bit there, but he can talk about it in a normal thing, then, you know, it's just that's life. But if you see both are bad, then better to do something else. Does that make sense? Because in that position, one is blind. One can't see that that's what's happening. See, the intelligent man, he has his duties. He knows what's the influence of the wife. You know, so if you discuss it, he can say what it is. But then someone else who has the same proper understanding knows that's just how things work. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's just a matter of do they understand the culture or not. So that's the thing in the Vedic system is the culture can work nicely. It's just that everything has its position. So you know where to apply it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So you're considering that. You know, you want it to happen like this, but then the whole point is then he can't go there, you know, unless the family goes along, and if they go along, it's going to cost more, so then you just have to factor all that in, and if that's worth it, you go with it. Okay, maybe it doesn't work out as good as, but it's better than not doing it at all. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Oh, but if it's going to be, that's not going to work out, and it's not going to be any better, so then you'll look for an alternative solution. Does that make sense? You know, like send a brahmachari or something.
Yeah, the difficulty seems to be is that the mood of a woman constantly changes, so you can't actually, and it's somebody else's lady.
I don't remember his name, but it's a quotation from this person. He said, the only thing consistent about women is their inconsistency. So that you know is going to be there. So because of that, it's factored in. So as long as you're dealing with people who understand this, you know, and the women understand it, then it works very nicely. It's more of a trouble, but that's the way it works. You know, it's just the path isn't straight. You know, it's always like this. So it's just a matter of that's what it takes. It means to go from A to B, it's a straight line. That's, let's say, it's 1 kilometer. But because of the curves, like that, depending upon how much, you know, you're dealing with, that can be anywhere from 2 to 10 kilometers. By the particular nature. So that's not the problem. So that someone's a grihastha, that's not the problem. It's just like Krishna. He goes to Indra's planet for some work, but Satyabhama, she expects to go along. Or he's going to go out and fight with Bhomasura. She also wants to go along. It's just the way it works. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's just understood. That's the way it works, and everybody understands that, and you do your best within that. But for in the modern context, you can make more profit. It means that if all the grihasthas, all their workers and everything, and all the things they were getting anything done with were all brahmacharis, fabulous profit, no?
Yeah.
You know, like that. So that's the whole thing. So, but when the modern society tries to get that profit off of a grihastha environment, that's where it falls apart. Then the whole thing goes out. So it has to be understood. So we're not talking that. It's about the attachment to that. One's attached, but one can't be attached to being attached. Does that make sense? In other words, there can't be that comfort in that attachment. It's that you're attached, it's there, you work with it, but one understands that this is not ideal. Because the whole thing is based on the externals. You have two souls that are not male and female. Right? And so then they're acting in that way, out of duties, because that's what one is supposed to do, so it's a mode of goodness. So therefore it goes, and then the mentalities that are there, the moods that are there, it's just what you go with. And so it will have, even if it's done in goodness, because it's not satisfying to the soul, there is an element of suffering, but on that level of goodness, it's very minor in comparison. But it's a major thing for that person, because it makes them think, you know, just like in Brahmaloka. They suffer nothing themselves, but they suffer thinking about how everybody else is. You know, so it gets very subtle. So we're not talking about that you're dealing with grihasthas and all that. You're talking about dealing with the attachment to and all that. And in other words, if you're sitting there and, you know, a guy's talking about, yeah, you know, today the wife was like this, you know, so it's like that, I'm going to have to go, you know, I won't be able to stay after, we were thinking to go and do this, but I'm going to have to go home and take care of this. We're not talking about that. We're talking about you're sitting there and the guy goes, wow, check that out. That's the kind of stuff that people to associate with. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So in other words, one's dealing with the attachment and engaging in Krishna's service, but you're not glorifying it, saying it's something special and all that. You know, in other words, someone goes, yeah, he's a brahmachari, and they go like that. Yeah, but it's good that they're a brahmachari, they get trained and all that, but how many are going to remain brahmachari? So if they get married, it's not a fault. It's a natural progression. And those who remain brahmachari, that's special. Right? And so that kind of, and then as a grihastha, you have to, you know, consider and deal with all the things that are there. So that association's all right. But that association where, oh, these brahmacharis, you know, they're, you know, let's get real here. You know, they all want to be married and all that. What's all this show and all that? Why don't they be honest and just go out there and get married? And that's the kind of person you just do not want to associate with. I mean, absolutely not. gross materialist. You understand? So you choose your association with those who are progressive in their understanding of the Grihastha Ashram, or those who are not. So in other words, here when we're talking about arising from the... So Krishna's pointing out that all pain comes from these attachments. So the more you're attached, the more pain will be there. The less you're attached, then the less pain. So that can be either in volume or in depth. Right? If you have 100 different material attachments, then even if they're all small, it's going to make us suffering. Right? So of those, let's say that you really need to deal with, you only have 20. The other ones seem like they'd be cool, you know, like joining the gym working out so you can bench press, 200 kilos or something. You know, those might be ones you might drop. Does that make sense? Like that. Yeah, and that means not on your toe. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you reduce it down to that. So then if they've stayed at that same level, it means you've reduced. At the same time as reducing, since they're there, you'll see that might go up a bit. Then you start dealing, engage them in Krishna service. So, in other words, out of the 100, you have to engage them in Krishna service. From that, it'll naturally go down to what is the nature. And then those will remain, and then by engaging those in Krishna service, your attachment to them will go down, though the involvement in them may not. Does that make sense? Like, let's say, one performs one's duties in connection with the family. One's attached to the family, but it's not that... As you advance, you continue to do those duties. So the taste of interaction, all that remains, but the attachment is less. So it doesn't give you pain. So before, it's so nice when everybody's happy, and it's so miserable when they're not. But now it's like when they're happy, it's nice, and when they're miserable, that's just the way it is. And so you just deal with it. You don't get all grumpy and all this and that. You know, why am I here? I should take some, it's just a matter of, it's just that's the way it is. So as long as it's favorable in devotional service, one remains in the position. So in other words, the Vedic culture has a depth to it. This is what we're talking about. This is the measurement. This is what you're measuring. Not how many things you memorized and all that. It means it's useful. But to use the memorization, that's why we don't have shlokas for memorization. Right? Because first of all, once you pass 12, your memory starts to go. And then once you get involved in what Krishna's talking here, then there's even less memory. You know? Because if you had a good memory, you would have remembered to pick up the potatoes on the way home. And you would have saved yourself so much misery. But you didn't. Right, you know, so that's the thing. That's why we don't have it. Though I think from in the future we'll have to introduce it, because the whole rest of the world can't understand how is it a Shastric course if you don't memorize shlokas.
Yes, ma'am, it's true.
It is. They think it's nothing. There's no substance.
Yeah.
There's even a technique how you when you an adult. How you memorize things. It's actually a good training.
Yeah, yeah. It all starts with, my wife needs this.
Of course. There are consequences for that.
Yes. Yes, and it's very... And the objectives are very easy. You do this, you get smiled, you don't. Someone doesn't talk to you for 3 days. Like that. And yeah, so it's like... No. So the point is the Vedic, it's about dealing with that, understanding the knowledge so you can practically use it there. Does that make sense? Because if we were just going for facts and figures, we could go through this. It wouldn't take us 12 years. You know, not at all. You know, if all we were doing was emphasizing the review questions, we wouldn't need to go this slow. But because it's the essay questions, that's why we have to go into it and all this. Because otherwise, the others go by X amount of pages per day. We go by understanding. So if we go through it, like you saw, that there, from going through the 10th canto and all that, and before that, when we got to the beginning stage of the 11th, we went through really quick, even though it's technical, because it was understood. But when we first went through that in the earlier stages, it would take forever to get one of those points. like that. So there's the understanding. But then if we come into the point of applying it, now again, now it's coming up. But before it was the difficulty with Shravana, the doubt. Now it's about Manana. So it's more advanced. It's developed. So that's what's looked for in the Vedic concept. Is that... Yes?
What is the difference between an etiquette and the negative side of diplomacy in a cultural context? Is it that though you have your attachment, you act in a way because you are supposed to according to your position?
Yes, yes.
That's why it is...
That's etiquette. Etiquette is that it's supposed to be done, you do it. It's a difficulty, but you do it and things work out best. Diplomacy is that you're going to get benefit, that's why you do it. So it has that, in other words, diplomacy has the mode of passion. Right? And then, so you have goodness, which is the duty, then you have diplomacy, which is the same thing, but now you're doing it because of the benefit you'll get, mode of passion. Then when we move into ignorance, where we don't actually understand what's happening, then we give the nomenclature political correctness. Because there it's not about what Shastra says, it's just about what we see will work. So it's V-karmic diplomacy. Right? If it's according to Shastra diplomacy, then it's there. You do everything, it's nice, and everybody else does it, it's nice. It means, in other words, if they don't have anything to gain from it, then, you know, you do, but they're following the thing, it goes along, and you get profit from it, why wouldn't you? You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? But if they're both impassioned, they both know that it's that, you know, that's where the crocodile grin comes from, that thing. Is that they're both smiling and they're both patting each other on the back and, you know, vying to pay for the lunch and things like that. But you know that you know, they just want to, you know, completely get you out of business. And the fact that they could, you know, send you on the next mission to Mars, they would. You know, so it's just understood because it's there, because of passion. But it's a heavier thing, but because you're in passion, it doesn't bother you. For someone in goodness, it would bother if it was directed at them. But if it's just the way they deal, you just see it. You know? Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's just a matter of the level of what you're at. Wow. Impressive. Yeah. Oh, confirmed? Yes, okay. Very rare you get those. Yes?
Maharaj, can we say that the attachment to attachment is a sign of false ego?
Yes, because we're falsely identifying that I can control and enjoy and all that. When we understand I can't, but we still have that attachment. Yes. In other words, we have attachments, but we're not attached to our attachments. You know what I'm saying? It means we have the attachment, but we, in principle, understand it's not good. Mm-hmm. Just like we are attached to, let's say, family life. Mm-hmm. So, and, you know, the comfortableness and, you know, the moments and all those things like that. But we actually understand it's not actually real. It's just the modes of nature. Right, because we're identifying with it. We may experience it, and it's what we want to experience, but we know it's not. So, therefore, we're not making the effort to increase those based on my enjoyment. Right? We're trying to make the most comfortable situation for the family because that's our duty. And then we make that effort to make it go nicely, but because of Daiva, it's up to the Lord what actual results come. So we can't get an anxiety that the results aren't there. The family might, but we know that they will because of their nature, but we try to be not as affected. And then we work within that field as long as it is valuable in Krishna consciousness. So if the members are Krishna conscious and all that, then one goes naturally from brahmacharya to grihastha into vanaprastha, and one doesn't have to leave that situation. But if you find it's unfavorable, then that's when, you know, husband and wife don't stay together, the husband goes off, you know, come back sometimes and things like that. And then if it's more extreme, then that's where sannyasa is. Does that make sense? So it's just a matter of what's favorable and what's not. The point is for us, because the goal is pure devotion, we see dharma, artha, kama, and moksha in relation to what's favorable to devotion, not what's favorable to our what we'll get out of it. You know? So that's the thing we were discussing in the morning. The Mayavadis, they think I'm going to enjoy by liberation. So it's about their enjoyment, not about that that's their duty. You understand? So even though it seems to be goodness, it's not pure goodness, because pure goodness is devotion. So there is an idea that they're going to enjoy by being liberated. If I become God, then I'll be happy. Even though I can't even tie my shoelaces, but hey. You know what I'm saying? We can't pass the driver's license and we're frustrated, but I will be happy as anything when I, you know, win the, F1 championship. But you can't even drive. You know what I'm saying? So that's the problem we're dealing with. The passion is still there. So they're attached to their renunciation. You know, which is also an attachment. Yeah. It's very cool.
So Maharaj, as an aspiring devotee, the way to solve that problem, to make advancement, is to associate with advanced devotees.
Yes, to associate with advanced devotees. So in other words, like we're saying here, is that it's advanced devotees, but in context of that original question, is that therefore those grihasthas who they themselves understand the progressive values in human life, associate with them.
Yes.
Because that will inspire you to try to be progressive in yours.
Yes.
So that mentality is what you look for. And someone who they're fine how they are and all this and that, then you'll meet them at, you know, in different things and services and this and that, but you won't spend intimate time with them. You won't invite them over, you won't go to their place, you won't do things, you know, like that are personal together. Services, you naturally end up doing things together because that's what it is. You know what I'm saying? Like you go to a job and everybody there may be a karmi. But we're not associating with them. We're just engaging in the varna aspects with them and it makes our money. Association means ashram. You know what I'm saying? So that's the difference. So you make that distinction, because the Vedic, it's about what is progressive. And that should be seen, and actual progressive is seen in connection with bhakti. That's the actual position. Is that good? Does that work? Yeah. So it doesn't mean that if you have to do something with someone that you don't. It just means that you don't get to, you just do the work. You know, be pleasant, follow the etiquette, but you don't have to, you know, do more than that. You know. It means, in other words, if they expect that you're going to eat your lunch there where they're eating their lunch, then you sit there. You know. But if not, you go sit somewhere else. You know, it's just... Does that work? You had something? Okay. Okay. Off of one verse. Right? Yeah, no, it's a serious verse. Okay, Sudha Goswami Dishona Karishi Srimad Bhagavatam 1.9.23. Yes, because it's something that one has to... In other words, there's the aspect of accepting it, removing the doubt and accepting it. The second thing is how to apply it. You understand? So even though we spent time, it was on application. It wasn't on whether it was right or not. You see the difference? So there's a difference in. So there's a progression here. That, like, if you go back some years, this point comes up, then, you know, it goes on for days. And so that, no, this is not correct. Is it over? You know, it's like, you know, it's not a proper point. But now it's a proper point. How do you apply it in your life? That in the devotional service, that you know, maintain your natural, you know, human kind of dealings, right? And progress devotionally. The personality of Godhead who appears in the mind of the devotee by attentive devotion and meditation and by chanting of the holy name releases the devotee from the bondage of fruitive activities at the time of his quitting his material body, right? So by being always absorbed in the Lord, then at the time when we leave the body, then we don't have to come back and be involved in these bodies. Right? While we're here, we take part in the bodies. Right? And then when we move on, then you know, let the next generation work that out. Right? So, oh, that's that. So in other words, that's where the misery comes from. So therefore, what should one do? Absorb oneself in the Lord, right? One's in the family situation, you see that in connection with the Lord. Then the duties are performed, the results from that family interaction is gained, but at the same time, one is advancing in Krishna consciousness and seeing things connected to Krishna for Krishna's pleasure. And so that's why it says it's not about the rules, it's what's for Krishna's pleasure. Right? So, now go back to our pot example. Okay? So now, we have, let us say, okay, we have the copper pot, we have this, you know, really nice, whatever it is, brass pot, and we have, you know, some kind of fancy plastic pot, you know, like that. So now, if we're looking at which pot to choose for the puja, then which one do you choose? What's the basis of that choice? It pleases Krishna. So that's why we choose the copper. So it's not about the rules, it's because it pleases Krishna. The rules are copper will be more pure than the brass, which is more pure than the plastic. In fact, the plastic's probably never pure, but whatever, you know. Does that make sense? So the point is based on the rule, oh no, I want to use the copper pot, it's the most pure. That's Vaidhi. Rag is we choose the copper one because Krishna likes it. Does that make sense? So it's very simple. It's thought that, oh, we don't follow the rules in Rag. No, you're following, the rules are being followed, but not because they're rules, it's because they please Krishna. So that means all the other considerations go, because if it's about Krishna likes this, then which one do you pick? Does that make sense? Like, let's say you want to do something for somebody, and there's something they like. How many options are there in the world of gifts you could get? Unlimited. But which one do you get? The one they like. So it's based on based on that personal aspect. That's what makes it advanced. Now, someone else knows the rules so nicely, they could go through it quickly and they're always fixed there. That's the mode of goodness. That's very nice. But eventually you start to see as the mode of goodness is the lifestyle Krishna lives. Because Krishna lives, that's pure goodness. But when we consider the lifestyle without Krishna, that's called goodness. Does that make sense?
So when you say that,
Rag is personal, it's spontaneous, because it's not about the intellectual process, it's just naturally you don't want to do that. That's why he's carrying the paper and the other one's carrying the tray.
Yes.
Yeah, everyone according to their nature. No?
That's almost the slogan of the Kumiyas.
Yes. That's what we were bringing up yesterday. We were going in that direction. And then that's the thing, it's about individuals. See, the problem with the communism, it makes it equal, but everybody's exactly the same. There's no individuality, which is fun, because the liberals talk about individual, but if you follow it far enough, everybody just becomes this homogenous thing, right? And the fun part is they're complaining about the conservatives making everybody homogenous. They're both impersonalists. That's the whole point. Only devotional service is personal. That's the weakness.
Kali really makes everyone a hypocrite.
Yeah, he does. He does. He's good. Otherwise, then how do you get things done? How do you have a good Kali Yuga if people aren't hypocritical? Is there any connection with being hypocrite and Hippocratic? No? Okay. Just wanted, just checking.
Follower of, Hippocrates. Different spelling.
Different spelling. Okay, so it's not the same roots or anything. Okay.
Yes, you're
talking
about. Yes.
Oh, in hypocritical on the authority.
Okay. Okay. Gopis to Krishna, Srimad Bhagavatam 10:82-48. The gopis spoke thus: Dear Lord, whose navel is just like a lotus flower, your lotus feet are the only shelter for those who have fallen into the deep well of material existence. Your feet are worshipped and meditated upon by great mystic yogis and highly learned philosophers. We wish that these lotus feet may also be awakened within our hearts, although we are only ordinary persons engaged in household affairs. Right? So the point is that desire to that one will always remember the Lord. Like previously said, that by remembering the Lord, the greatest misery comes from attachment to material life. Right? Then, by remembering the Lord, doesn't matter the situation, you'll be free from all fruitive activities. Right, so now they're asking that, may I always be able to engage in remembering you, no matter what my situation, even though we're ordinary persons, we're engaged in household affairs. Right? So that makes sense. Maharaj Pariket to Sukadev Goswami. Right, so we see what the essential point is here, because otherwise, what are we going to take as sadhana bhakti? We're mainly going to take the rules.
Yes.
But the point is, sadhana bhakti is applying this mood through rules. Right? Then we'll progress up to this mood. But if we just take the rules as bhakti, then it's nice. At least you're engaged and it regulates the life and all that. And it ultimately is for Krishna, there'll be benefit. But not as much as if you understand what's happening here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, you still have to come to the platform of understanding.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Can we say that neophyte devotee try to connect everything to Krishna, and more advanced devotee try to please Krishna?
Yes, it means ultimately the neophyte wants to please Krishna,
yes.
But you might have to take a few stages.
Yes.
Like not recently, we haven't had to do, but remember, we go back a few years, we'd ask why, and sometimes depending on the individual and that, it would take anywhere from 5 to 20 steps before they actually got it to Krishna's pleasure.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, pleasing Krishna. So it was just taken as, of course, that, you know, but the details are what makes it dynamic.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? It's just like, let us say, okay, chanting. What, you're chanting your japa. What's the important thing?
Remembering Krishna.
Absorbed, hearing the name, right? Now, let us say we're new to devotional service, we're enthusiastic, okay? So now, we may, you know, in that enthusiasm, try to get a really fancy bead bag or some really big beads, and like, I remember...
You want to make sure you're in it.
Yeah, yeah, you know, really big, like that. I remember once they were talking about, he was talking about, you know, if he could get the Tulsi, he'd make these such big beads, he'd have to take them around in a wheelbarrow, you know, because they're so big, you know, Hare Krishna, you know, like that, you know, two hands to move a bead. You know, so these kind of things are, you know, how the scent or how the different things, you know, the show of it. But because it's about Krishna, it's beneficial. Right? It's neophyte, but it's beneficial. So they will advance. And then there'll come the maturity. It's about the quality of hearing and chanting, not about the quality of the paraphernalia. Right? But you like to do things nice and all that, so you do things nicely for Krishna and like that. You know, so therefore, Vrinda prefers a bead bag, not a wheelbarrow. So, you know. Unless, of course, the bead bag is so big, you put that in the wheelbarrow. And the bag. Is that... Yeah. So that's the nice thing about devotional service. It always works despite us. That's the meaning of foolproof. Despite us, it still works. Yeah. The only thing is, don't commit offenses. And if you avoid that, then everything else it'll work. It's good. Maharaj Parikshit to Sukadeva Goswami 286. A pure devotee of the Lord whose heart has once been cleansed by the process of devotional service never relinquishes the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, for they fully satisfy him, as a traveler is satisfied at home after a troubled journey. Right, so once one has come to that point of taking it, they don't give that up. Right? So that's why it said that the devotee, even that they get distracted, they're still rightly situated because of that attachment to the lotus feet of the Lord. Right? Because you'll see devotees who are right out there and, you know, wherever it is, baseball is left field, cricket, it's anything else, rugby. Just means that they're out there in the boonies, out in the sticks. Heard that? The sticks?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other side of the black stump.
The other side of the black stump, yeah. And that's past whoop whoop, right?
Right.
Yeah, okay. Then they still are thinking about Krishna. They can't not think about Krishna. It just may not be as much manifest. But that's the one point, is that so once one comes to that, so then the pure devotee, they're always absorbed. So anybody who's come in contact with the bona fide and actually situated and got some kind of taste, that won't be given up. And especially those that come to the pure devotee, they become nicely, properly situated. Then they won't give that up. Why would they give that up? Because nothing else has the taste. Right? If you're sitting in a pig pen, then a little more dirt doesn't bother you. But once it's cleaned up and it's, you know, very spotlessly clean, I'm just going to say spick and span, you know, like that, then any little dirt, you notice it, no, you get rid of it. Immediately, it doesn't happen. You understand? So that's the thing, is it's there, you're aware of that because you see it's connected to the Lord. So it's always then absorbed. So we see is that having come to this state, like the gopis talk about, then nothing else will come there. That's the only satisfaction. Right? Avanti Brahman chanting, 11:23:57. I shall cross over the insurmountable ocean of nescience by being firmly fixed in the service of the lotus feet of Krishna. This was approved by the previous acharyas, who are fixed in firm devotion to the Lord, Paramatma, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? So now that faith, that's how you'll get everything. By having that faith, that just by devotional service, that will cross over the material ocean. Nothing else will help you cross. Others can, if it assists in devotional service, it's useful. Right? So in other words, if for your position in practicing devotional service, getting, let's say, a contemporary degree will be useful, then you get it. But if it won't, you don't. You don't get it based on social prestige or economics or anything else. You get it based on your devotional service. I'm comfortable at this particular thing at this point in my life. That requires this amount of money. That amount of money requires this kind of job. That job requires this kind of degree. That degree requires this kind of study. Right? And unfortunately, if we want to keep going, that kind of study needs that kind of secondary study. That kind of secondary study needs that kind of primary study. That primary needs that kindergarten. That kindergarten needs that nursery school. And that nursery school means for you have to be born in a certain family and know certain people. So therefore, then, go down and visit the, the headmaster that was your classmate, you know, back in, you know, when you both were wherever it was. Does that make sense? And start the process. So then, like that, then you look at it because this is required so that I can do devotional service. Right? And it's not that this makes devotional service because of my attachments. I'm comfortable in this. Right? It's not that, oh no, but unless you have money, you can't have devotion. No, it has nothing to do with it. Haridas Thakur doesn't have a paisa, and he's the Namacharya. Right? And Rupa Goswami, amazingly, left all that paisa to go to Vrindavan. And then Sanatana Goswami used that paisa to get out of jail so he could go to Vrindavan.
Maharaj, I didn't also
say that Avanti Brahman is very much determined over here?
Very much determined, yes. Because this is showing the point of being firmly fixed. Right? And it means this, that which was approved by the previous acharyas, right? So that firm devotion to the Lord. So in other words, the Madhyama position is the beginning stage of this. That's it. So that one wants to be fixed in devotional service. That's how you define the Madhyama, is that being steady. That's the Karabhajana Muni to Maharaj Nimi, Canto 11, 5, 42. One who has thus given up all other engagements and has taken full shelter of the lotus feet of Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is very dear to the Lord. Indeed, if such a surrendered soul accidentally commits some sinful activity, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is seated within everyone's heart, immediately takes away the reaction to such sin. Like that. So we see is that being situated like that, right? We saw before is that you could always remember the Lord no matter your situation and as a householder, right? Then being cleansed of all these different things and being situated in the Lord's service, then one will always be absorbed in the Lord, right? And then having that firm determination that that's the real thing, right? Then having that, then you'll give up all other engagements. So what does this mean, all other engagements? So if we take it from the external, from purely the secondary, we take it that you give up all engagements. But since what we're talking about secondary is in connection with primary, that's not what's being talked about. In other words, you give up, like we said before, all engagements that are not devotional service. If you can see it connected to the Lord, then it remains. If you can't connect it to the Lord, why you would keep it? Does that make sense? So that's how you would determine. You need a car to get to work. Okay, you get one that's, you know, whatever it is, according that you'll be comfortable with. It's reliable, or it's safe, or it's a Volvo, so it's both, or, you know, whatever it is. So you just find whatever it is that is there. But now, getting, you know, a Koenigsegg, you don't need to. Right? Because you can't go any faster than, you know, probably 60, 80 kilometers anyway. You don't need to do 400. Like that. That didn't work? Bugatti?
Yeah.
That works? Okay.
Bugatti.
Yeah. It's the one that's faster than the Bugatti? Yeah. The other one. Yeah. So.
We are staying in Mayapur. Cycle is better.
Cycle is better. Okay, so then cycle. So do we need one of those, you know, cycles that have those super thin tires and no gears and is directly connected and is made out of titanium and everything like that, that has the special shoes that clip in and everything like that, and then you have the funny little, you know, short little, like, underwear that they wear, the bicycle guys, and do you need all that to get from here to the temple? No. Okay. Yeah, so. Good point. Using the wrong example.
You can try those.
To Calcutta. The other one's to Calcutta, yeah. No? Okay. Oh, you were going to ask whether it's the, how you say, the Veyron or the Chiron or... Oh, no, okay. No, okay. Yes, so all other engagements means you only see, means let's say you're have a job, but you only see it in that it produces, it's able to maintain your situation that you and your family are performing devotional service. You only see it from that. You don't see it as, oh, I get money from that. Now we can enjoy and we can do whatever we want and we're independent. And it's always dependent upon the Lord. So give up all other engagements means all you're doing is devotional service. You can explain how everything you do, you see everything as devotional service. That's the meaning of giving up all other engagements. This idea that you don't do anything. Right? Does that make sense? Like that. So if we're going to not do anything, that includes, we can't, because sitting on the couch is in one sense in a static way doing something. So you'd have to remove the couch. Because you don't hear him say floor potato. Yes.
even amongst devotees, it's considered, you know, minimalistic lifestyle, as it is explained here, it's considered primitive even amongst devotees, because nowadays, you know, the world has so much to offer to us, and then we can use it, but whether we're using it or not, that's a different issue. But yeah, you know, not many actually grihasthas can live up to that standard.
No, but this standard is consciousness. Just like Yudhishthira Maharaj is emperor of the world, he is given up all other engagements and has taken full shelter of the lotus feet of Hari. That's the point. Sudama Brahman before is only engaged in devotional service, and after seeing Krishna and he has more wealth than Indra, he's still only engaged in Krishna service. He doesn't have any other engagement. Mm. So the mistake is taken as simply an external point. So we start with externals. That means we think we're the body, so what do you start engaging? The body. Then when you start to understand there's a subtle body and all this, then you start to engage that. When you understand there's the soul, you start to engage. So it's a process. So the point is that we're dealing with that, so we may start with only keep how much stuff you actually need, but it's how much you need. Like that. Does that make sense? So even for many, that's uncommon. If you can't deal with that, don't. Once somebody was talking about how renounced they were and all that, making a big scene about it, you know, really, really...
grandiose.
Yeah, very grandiose and this and that. So I said, oh, okay, wow, great, let's go check. So I went in to sat down with his stuff, and I started picking up his stuff. What do you need this for? I put it on the side. And this one, like this and that, until we got down to, and as soon as you get up, like, you pick up his toothbrush, brush my teeth. Okay, he gets that one. You know, so it's just, you know, which, like that. Until we had it down to what he actually uses. And then I had another pile of stuff that was that. So I said, you know, it's all valuable stuff. And so then, you know, we wouldn't want to be wasted. So you have, this is the stuff you actually require. And this other stuff, we'll give it to the other boys who need it. Yes. And it was one of those, like that. The guy actually had a, you know, like an emotional freak out. Because for him, the renunciation was as a social status. That he was more renounced than other boys. You know? It wasn't actual renunciation. You know, so, you know, you end up having to give all the stuff back. You know,
more gift.
Yeah.
Just,
you know. Yeah. So it's just, yeah, like that. So that's the funny part is it's all a bunch of, it's show rather than, you know, the real. So that's what we're talking about, is that it's not about the external. So it's how much do you require? Because when you get up into the very wealthy, then generally the very wealthy, their house is not full of tchotchkes. You go into a room and it has, if it's the living room, it's only how much is necessary for the living room. It's a family room, it'll have what's necessary there. You know, it's the kitchen, it'll have there. Everything will have its exact things. It doesn't. They don't have more. And they could buy anything. So that's the whole point is that it's not the volume, it's that it's only what you require. So if you require more, you have that more, not one bit more than that. So you might have 100 things. Someone else may only have 50. But you don't have 49, because then you start freaking out. But you don't have 51 either, otherwise now you get puffed up. So it's not understood what's actually being discussed. We're taking it simply at the external. And the more we include the modern social and economic and educational and political kind of elements, then the more it goes away from actually being essence. That's the difficulty. So it's not that they can't have couches and this and that, but how many couches do you need? You know, you got the new couch because the old couch is bad, but do you get rid of the old couch? A lot of times not. So like that, in the house, there's double the junk that they need. So in other words, get rid of it. No, but it's like, you know, it's either got sentimental value or it could be worth some money, though no one wants to buy it. Yes. No, like that, but you hold on to it because maybe this, that, you know, just no, get rid of it. The Vedic thing is when you got new furniture, you gave the old furniture to the servants. You know, so depending upon your standard, if you had a very high standard, your servants had really good stuff. You know, and if you were simple, then they had simple stuff. You know, so it worked. That you just—it's given away. You get a new couch, you get rid of the old couch. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah, that's just how it works. So it's a mentality that we're talking about. So this one has given up all other engagements. That's the fault, because they think, oh, but we have to be practical. We have to make money. Who said you're not making money? You know, because Prabhupada said varnashram. So out of that, then the grihasthas are all making money. Right? So then you know, who said we're not making money? Is that... Yeah? Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nityananda Gaura Premanandini.